Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Today's learning is sponsored by Nathan, Dina, and David Repan and grandchildren in loving memory of Judy Becker Repan, Yehudit Bas Nisa, and also by Elaine and Oren Markow to commemorate the yurt site of David Yisrael ben Shmuel Peretz, Mr. David Glassberg, the father of Elaine Markow. Our learning today should serve as an Eloi for Dina Shamos, Bigan Eidan Shel Mala. We began last week learning about the Siddur, going through the words in the Siddur and appreciating the Shmona Esrei. We discussed Hashem Sosai Tiftach, Ufi Yagid Tehila Secha. You have in front of you right now the Beis Yosef. This is really, I saw this a few weeks ago, something very, very special. The Beis Yosef was authored by the Rabbi Yosef Karo, right? The Shulchan Aruch. He wrote a Peirush on the tour, right, which eventually became his commentary, the Shulchan Aruch, a much more condensed version. In the Beis Yosef, his commentary on the Torah, he quotes the Shibboleth HaLeket. The Shibboleth HaLeket was a Rav, they called him Rav Tzidkiah HaRofe. Tzidkiah the doctor. Okay? It's a halacha sefer, but it has many, many fascinating and beautiful ideas. So in there, he writes the following. The Gemara in Maseches Megillah, when the Gemara in Maseches Megillah in the second parak tells us the order of the brachos of Shmoneh Esrei, and tells us the reasons why they're in a specific order. And Bezrat Hashem, as we learn the Siddur together, we'll learn the Gemara in pieces to understand what the Gemara means by that and what Chazal interpreted, why they put things in that order. But the way that the Gemara says it is that they established it al haseder, in the order. So Rav Tzidkiah HaRofe wants to know, what does it mean al haseder? And he says something really. What? Okay, beseder, or just say like this is what does this mean? So he says that really, these brachos that we say in Shmoneh Esrei were not created by Anshei Knesset Gedolah. They weren't established by them. They were just collected by them and then put into the Siddur and made into Shmoneh Esrei. What do I mean? This is, again, I saw this, I didn't know this a few weeks ago. I did not know this. Kishenitzal Avraham Meor Kasten. Avraham Avinu, when he was saved from the fiery furnace where Nimrod threw him into. The whole story with the idols and the idol shop in Terech, and Avram is thrown into the fiery furnace. Avram was saved miraculously. Avram said a bracha. What did he say? Magen Avraham. Okay? Now continue. When Yitzchak, the end of the sixth parsha, Yitzchak was bound to the Akedah, right? And then potentially his life was in the balance. God told him, God told his father to take him as a sacrifice. When he was not going to be taken as a sacrifice, they took the ram instead. What did he say? Mechaye Hamesim. Right? Some even say, on some level, he did die. And then he came back to life. Okay, that's a... Rabbi, you would say that's an ooh, but okay. Next, Kishaba Yaakov, Upaga Bishare Rachamim, Vihiktish Moshe Kosh Barcho. When Yaakov went and davened, beseeched God. I believe this is referring to the time when he was sleeping the ladders, right? On Har Moriah, and he saw the ladder with the angels going up and down. What did he proclaim? He proclaimed Hakel Hakadosh. God is beyond our comprehension. God is holy, right? He's the first person to express.
So are these just concepts, or is this the actual bracha itself? This is
the bracha.
The whole bracha?
It sounds like...
The concept of the bracha.
Now, let's continue. You'll see. Kishalime Gavriel, Es Yosef, Shivin Lush. Now we're getting to a little midrashic. These three in the Torah. Gavriel, the Medrash says, taught Yosef all 70 languages so he could survive in the exile. So what did Yosef say? Chonin Hadas. God is the one that gives the knowledge. When Reuven did whatever he did with Bilhah, which is very, very confusing as to what he did, Did he sin? Did he not sin? He confounded the beds. He did tshuva, right, afterwards. And what is what he recite? Harotze b'tshuva. Right? That's Reuven with Bilha. That's later on. Now, Yehuda. Yehuda messes up with Tamar. She's about to be murdered at the stake. And what does he say? I messed up. Chanun hamarbeh lisloach. God is the one that has, that holds the hand of forgiveness. What do you mean? What am I? What did we learn now? The text that we're learning is one of the Rishonim. One of the Rishonim says this is the Masorah that he has of all of the brachos. Right? When Hashem, right, saves, when Hashem tells the Jewish people that I'm going to save you and redeem you, what do the Jewish people proclaim together? Goel Yisrael. Right? Chichi, yeah, that's what we have. Kishiripe Rafael as Avram. Now we're going back to our parsha. When Rafael, right, the three angels come, each angel had a job. One was to save Lot from Sodom. Another job was to tell Sarah about the child. And one was to heal Avraham. When Avram is healed with the by the Mila, what did Avram say? Rofei Cholim. Yitzchak, in next week's parsha, becomes very, very wealthy with the wells. Mea Sha'arim. Mevarei Chashanim, which is the bracha about Parnasa. When Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim with his all the Shvatim, right? Mikabes Nitzchei Amo Yisrael, all the scattered of the Jewish, of Yisrael, of Yaakov, with Yosef now, are all, once again, one. We're all together. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Moshe tells the Jewish people, all the Mishpatim, that's Melech Ohev Tzaka Mishpat, Hashem loves judgment. When the Mitzrim drowned in the sea, Shover Oivim Umachnia Zedim, God destroys the enemies. That's a bracha that we should be, have extra kavanah today, that one of our enemies, one of the terrorists number one or number two, was mamish killed. Was, right? You heard one? Okay, number one. They say responsible for over 150 deaths. Right? He was murdered today. Shover Oivim Umachnia Zedim. Kishamar Kash Baruch Hu Yaakov. V'Yosef Yashis Yado Aleinecho Batach Advaro. Right? When he says a Yosef, right? When Yaakov tells Yosef about the brachos with the brothers. Mishan Miftach L'Tzadikim. Yaakov, you know what you're doing. Even though you confounded the brachos, you know what's going on. When Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, that's Bonei Yerushalayim. When the Jewish people crossed the Yamsuf, and they said Shira, Matzmiach Keren Yeshua. When the Jewish people grunted, right, and davened out to God to save them from their servitude of 210 years, what did they say? Shomea Tfila. God listens to our Tfila. When the Shekhinah went into the Mishkan, Machzir Shekhinaso Letzion. When Shlomo, right, When Shlomo brought the Aron into the Beis HaMikdash for the first time, Hatov Shimcha Ulachan Ne'elo. Those, God, we have to thank you for this moment in time. When the Jewish people went into Eretz Yisrael, the bracha was HaMavarech Esamo Yisrael Bashalom. Wow, right? Wow. This is like amazing, right? So Mendy said, is this Midrashic? Literally, I can't tell you for sure. I can't tell you for sure.
Oh, but this sounds like it's the concept. But I mean,
the concept of
text,
right,
itself was still done by someone. Right. Did a bat work.
Right. The text was created by Anshei Knesset Gedolah. It could be they looked into Jewish history and they said, hey, these were special moments in our history that you know, they taught us something here about how to daven, how to recognize God, how to appreciate Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's a certain relationship that we need to focus on here, or a certain type of salvation, or a certain type of thing we need to daven for. And they looked into, they had this tremendous, not just chachma they had, we mentioned this last week, they had nevuah when establishing the Shemona Esrei. So that's what they were doing, you know, really trying to understand the Shmoneh Esrei on a very, very deep level. And, you know, and the Shibur HaLekhet goes as far to explain that these were recited by our Avos and Imahos, by our forefathers throughout Jewish history.
So this prayer then is 2,500 years old?
Well, we learned in this week's Parsha, Vayashkem Avram Baboker, B'makom Asher Amad Sham, we learned from there that Avraham davened Shachris.
So then,
that's the first time, right? That's where we learn about davening.
But was this said by them?
Was this said by them?
Set. I mean, you said, I thought it was set by the Anshin.
The words were set up by them. The words.
The order. So
the order. According to Shmuel Leket, the bracha was established many, many years before. The whole bracha beforehand and everything else. No, that was established. That the Anshin Knesset Gedola. That's 2,000 years. 2,000 years. 2,000 years. Maybe a little bit less.
So
18.
It's from the second
Kedush. Correct. After we lost Korbanos, because before that we had Korbanos, we had to bring Korbanos at certain times. The Gemara asks, "Why do we right? What were the tefillos corresponding to?"
Right.
Either they correspond to Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov. Avraham was Shachris, Yitzhak, Mincha, and Yaakov, Mariv. Or they correspond to Korbanos, the Tumid in the morning, the Tumid in the afternoon, and the extra, you know, things that we burnt later at night.
So there weren't any tefillot set with the Korbanos?
There were, but they were not set, they weren't established tefillos. It was whatever was in your heart, you said, but it wasn't established. Things were very, very different back then. You know? Yes.
Vilamalshinim
was added later on.
And I think you can really get a good idea of this, the concept of this, of seeing how that bracha, where it was inserted, in between which two brachas.
So we'll talk about it. When we get up to it, we will talk about.
I think I heard from Rabbi Wine, I remember listening to his tape, I used to go in.
Yeah.
30 years ago to the city. Somewhat similar to the Siddur, but according to Rabbi Wein, he said that was exclusively for the early Christians who basically had 613 mitzvos, except they had one more, that Jesus was the Messiah.
Yeah, so we'll talk about Vilamal Shinim. But I wanted to add one more point. What's fascinating is that where do we learn tefillah from? So I would have said, where's the first time that Avram's davening? Where's he davening? In our parsha, where's he davening? He's davening for Sodom, right? But we don't learn. We mentioned Vayigash, one of the reasons why we take a step forward represents Avram davening for Sodom. But we don't learn out Avraham's Shachris from Sodom. Where do we learn it from? So Avraham, two times the Torah says, Vayishkem Avram Baboker. One time is the Akedah. Okay? That's not where we learn it from either. We learn it from the day after. The day after Sodom was destroyed, the Torah says, Vayishkem Avraham Baboker. Now, one of my friends, Chavrusa of mine, he's now rabbi in Bergenfield. His name is Rabbi Moshe Safsky, pointed out to me a really great ha'ara.
Bimab,
right. So he pointed out to me that what's fascinating is that Moshe, we don't learn out tefillah from Avram engaging in discourse and arguing with God by Sodom. No. Where do we learn out? After Avraham had a perceived failure in his tefillah, where God maybe listened to his tefillah, but God said, no. The next day, Avram still got back up and davened. Vayashkem Avram Baboker. Avram got up and davened in the same place that he davened in the day before. Right? We learn out from there, Makom Kavua, that there's importance for Makom Kavua. That doesn't mean you should kick somebody out of your seat if you come late to shul. Or if you come on to shul. Absolutely not. You're within four amos. You're good to go. Okay? I cringe I cringe when. Okay. So, just punched somebody this morning. Okay, great. Throw you out of the shul. Okay. So, Vayeshkeim Avram Baboker, Bamakom Asher Macham, not only literally Makom Kavua. I think also if people daven, if women daven in their home, they should also have a Makom Kavua. There should be like a set place in their house that this is the place where they daven. And, but not just physically, but emotionally, the Makom, he came back to the same place. The same place, right? Where he engaged with God the day before. He went back there. Went back there because, you know what? It's not about, did I get it or did I not get it? Did God answer? Is the person still on, you know, still sick? It's the relationship, right? We go back because it's a relationship that we have with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and that's the way that we continue to establish it day in, day out. Just imagine if, like, I don't know, one of our children asks us for something, and we're like, okay, I hear you. I hear why you you need a new car. I hear that. Good. But sorry, the answer is no. The answer is no. You're 12 years old. You don't get a car. You know, like, you know it's like, you don't, sorry. You don't, and what if, like, the child just doesn't come home the next day? Like, sorry, you said no about that? I'm out. Right? So many of us, like, that's, you know, maybe it's different when it comes to God, but, you know, we want to run the other way sometimes because it's very, very hard. It's very, very hard. And tefillah is training ourselves in this relationship that we have with him. Okay, so let's.
How do we know that the lesson of Boker and the Bracha doesn't apply 2 days later?
How do we know? The Gemara deals with that and the Rishonim deal with it. Yeah, right. Because we learn out something else from the other Vayeshkim Avram Baboker. We learn out Zerizas by in general, that we have the mitzvah by Zerizas. The Avram woke up very early. And by the mitzvah of Mila, there's also a mitzvah of Zerizah Magimel mitzvah. That's what we learn out from there. Zgorim Sachem deals with this, and Tosfos Sachem deals with the two Vayashkims. We learn it from the second, but you can't learn out more than one mitzvah or one inyan from one pasuk. So the second Vayashkim, we learn out that you should really do a bris in the morning, according to Ashkenazim. Right? Sfaradim don't say that. Sfaradim say the Zrizas of Mila is to just do it that day, on the eighth day. The Ashkenazim might be more accurate. I don't know. I'm not going to... Sfaradim usually are more right than us. But, okay. Let's be honest here. So, okay. Let's continue for... So,
Shina was added how many years later?
Later. Right. It's in times... Yeah, it's later. Tonight. Okay.
I want to ask one question. Are children taught about the Akedah?
Our children are taught about the Akedah. In Orthodox schools, the children are taught about the Gita. Yes. That's sad. Yeah. I think that's their own impression that they're placing on children. I can't say my children learned it in depth, but I think when they get older, they will learn it more in depth. It's hard as an adult. Right. They did, yeah. They did. I wouldn't be happy if they didn't learn that the Akedah. Yeah. Okay. Part of this is like very old school thinking also. Like we should have learned about certain things. I don't know. When I was in seventh grade, I taught Navi to boys, so I taught them the story of David and Bathsheba. You know? And if they don't get this knowledge from me, they're going to get it from somebody else. Right?
Or...
And that's it, at least it's in a safe environment. That's very, very important. Okay, let's just begin a few words. The first bracha is called Avos, fathers. Now we have to ask ourselves, what does that mean? Why are we invoking our forefathers in the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei? Why is that important? Why is that necessary? And in what relationship are we talking about? Is this biological? Are they like a paradigm? Avos can mean many different things. We have, for example, avos means literally fathers. So that's like a biological relationship. But also, av in halacha means, like we have the 39 avos malachos. So there it means an example, but it means a paradigm malacha, right? And there are subcategories called tolados of those, right? Like we have that also in the Torah, parshas toldos. You have avos and you have toldos, right? So, you know, paradigm. So we're probably understanding avos here on both levels. that on one hand, they are our literal avos, and even, you know, someone that's a convert also would say this, because they become their avos as well, but also it's a paradigm, they are a paradigm for us. So let's just begin. Yes?
The one ever mentions, any commentary about the imam.
So that was one of the first things conservative Judaism added to the sitter, was the, okay, 1982, I didn't know that, was the imahos were added in. The imahos were added. We don't play with the text of the sitter for one reason, and that's because people with prophecy, right, with real nevuah, established the sitter. They established the sitter. When we talk about Avraham in that way, we have in mind the traits of Yisara. It's not like they both were chesed together, you know. This is the way it was established by people, by the Anshei Kedushas Gedolah with Nevuah, and that's the way we keep it. We don't play with the text of the sitter at all. Like, if of all things, you know, we can't skip a bracha. Like, if I'm running late to shul, I can skip Ashrei. I can skip a Halukah, right? But Shemoneh Esrei, you miss a word, you have to go back, right? That every single word of Shemoneh Esrei is so precise, and we mentioned this a few weeks ago, that had the impact that every single word that we say it comes out of our mouths. The impact that it has spiritually on the world is something that we can't comprehend. But it's something that is felt throughout the entire world by us reciting the Shemoneh Esrei.
So you just go back and you skip a word?
Well, if you missed like a bracha in Shemoneh Esrei, you'd have to go back, and you're still in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you have to go back to where you're up to. But if you realize after you finished, you have to do it again. It's like someone didn't say Shemoneh Esrei.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, like every word is so precise. Yeah. So Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu. By the way, we don't say here, it's interesting, we'll have to deal with this, Rav Schwab deals with this question, is that the Gemara is very, very clear. In order to be a valid bracha, you have to say, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Melech HaOlam. Well, only at the beginning. We'll see. Baruch Atah Hashem, we don't say Melech HaOlam here. And that is a little bit funny, that we don't say Melech HaOlam. We say Elokeinu Velokei Avosenu. Our God, right, and the God of our forefathers, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, the God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchak, and the God of Yaakov.
I was taught that each one had a different perception or understanding of the relationship with God, so that's why they mentioned all three of them.
Oh, so yeah, so this is a question you can ask right off the bat. Elokeinu, good, he's our God. Velokei Avosenu, right? Oh, same God, good. And then if it's the God of the forefathers, why are we then delineating Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov? Why do we need to say that? Just either skip Elokeinu, Velokei Avraham, Yitzchak, Velokei Yaakov. Also, Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, right? Why Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov? It seems to be very wordy, right? And then we go into the superlatives and explain, and not superlatives, but describing the praise of God. But just this first line here in the Shemoneh, what's going on here? The answer that's given by most, I'm not going to say all, but most, is that the Shemoneh is establishing the following, that we're learning from the Avos that each one of them had a different way of relating to God. Each one of them forged their own personal relationship with God. They had their own midos, chesed, gvura, and tiferes. But not only that, it's not only that they had their personal relationship with God, but they each davened in a different way. They walked to different stages in their lives. Right? Avram established Shachris. We mentioned Avraham's, you know, what he was up to in his life, right, in our Parsha in Vayera, what was going on there. Yitzchak davened Lasuach Basada, to talk in the field. just like picture, like someone davening. It's very pleasant, very calm. It's quiet. It's meditative. Basuach sicha is like talking. You know, Avraham woke up early. It's different. Yaakov was davening when he was at night and all alone. Vayifga b'makom. He met up, approached God. It was dark outside, right? Not just lonely, but he couldn't. He was really on the run. He was afraid. And it's a very different type of tefillah than Yitzchak and Avraham before him. So we begin over here by setting up Shmon Esrei in the following way. Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. He's our God and the God of our fathers. So what does that mean, he's God of our fathers? So it doesn't just mean that because my father, right, believed in God, so I believe in God. It's that we learn from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they davened in different ways. They also approach God in different ways. So too, we learn from them that we also can establish our own way of approaching Kadosh Baruch Hu in tefillah and in our own lives. And that doesn't mean it stays the same throughout our lives, because we have different stages of life, we have different ages, we have different days where we need God, or we call out to Kadosh Baruch Hu in our Shmon Esrei, in our days, in different ways, right? We're more needy in certain days, we're more anxious, we're nervous, we're concerned, we're thankful. Every single day is a different opportunity. And even Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv also take on different different roles in that too. Mincha is, you know, it's one of the hardest tefillos. It's in the, literally the middle of the day. How do you catch a mincha? I'm speaking to people who, maybe at this point in your lives, it's a little bit easier. But for people that imagine the days where you're at work, and especially in the winter, am I going to, like, running and crazy, and I'm sure the years where you had to say Kaddish, that, you know, that was also very, very challenging. Where am I going to do it? This is before you had Maizman and before you had all these apps that were helpful, you know, and then Maariv is later and you're a little bit more tired and like you have to go back out. Like they each take on a different mode and modality in our, and also evoke different emotions. We begin the Shmon Esrei by acknowledging that, but also learning from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that we can also have our own way, our own approach, our own method, in our own field.
Yeah, each one, the grandson, grabbing different food from his father and his grandfather. I don't know about you, my niece, whenever I daven, it's probably my father on the show. In fact, I told the story, I went to YUH and asked for my Hebrew name. And I said Yehuda, my name is Yehuda.
Yeah.
My father would say, he knows, you know Ivra. We don't say Ivra, you know Ivra.
Right.
But I'm saying, I my name is...
We follow literally our fathers. We learn from them, yeah.
An MBA.
Okay.
Just without thinking, I said Yehida.